Games Podcast. Well, we've got the Reddin show, Warfare, coming up. It's normally a pretty good show. I'm hoping to go, just need to have a word with a couple of guys down the club and see if a couple of us can get together to help share the petrol costs. And I'm hoping I'll actually get to see some of the bits I'm about to be talking about. Well, great news for me. Wings of War is going great. Flight of the Giants is now out. There's a new deluxe set in the works for the World War One version. And a load of new minis. In particular, very excited to see the SE5. I'm not sure if it's the SE5A or the SE5 without quickly checking online. But great news. Really looking forward to grabbing hold of some of those. Christmas is coming, so I gotta not buy them. Plus, you know, cash flow, etc., etc. So that's looking really good. Mantic, going great guns. Continue to produce some new dwarves and so on. Seeing some peaks of the orcs, looking pretty good. And the undead, hurrah, the resin revenants are now out. Unfortunately, being resin, you're not going to be able to glue them together with normal plastic glue. Officially, they're resin plastic, but as far as I'm concerned, they're resin. They don't take super. They take super glue, not plastic glue, which is a bit meh, but better than metal, a bit easier to work with. Good sign. I'm quite impressed with Mantic. I've got a couple of their figures just to test out. The paint sets they do is nice. It's a nice, good quality paint. The new rules, I'm still in two minds about them. I've got the beta test rules, downloaded them, had a quick look. I think they missed a bit of an opportunity. To me, it seems a bit more of the same. It's very kind of Warhammer-esque, dare I say. However, it's got some interesting ideas in there, and quite controversial. It's got this chess clock idea for tournaments. When I first heard them talking about that, I really didn't like it. But reading the way they've done it in the rules, they've covered it fairly well. It's basically saying in a tournament to give you a little bit more of a time pressure, let's do this. And I think coming up with that as a concept has changed the way they've approached the game. And unfortunately to me, that I have my go, you sit there doing nothing, you have your go, is a bit disappointing. However, the gameplay looks like it can be pretty quick. The feedback I've seen seems pretty good. So I'm not going to write it off, and at the end of the day, it's free, so you can't really complain about that. If they were charging me 20 quid for it, I think I'd be pretty disappointed. But I haven't actually had a game, so I should be fair to them. Lots of great coverage from Beasts of War, of course, and it's a good place to go and talk about stuff in the feedback forum and so on. I got some really good little YouTube clips coming up, reviewing a lot of the products I'm talking about as well. And they've also been doing a lot recently with Privateer Press, which I'm very pleased to see, because I really was intrigued by War Machine. The idea of, you know, maybe 10 or 20 to 20 figures each side, so therefore, in theory, a quite cheap game. Some really interesting rules, some nice-looking figures. But I've always been put off War Machine because, well, in the rules, it's got play like you got a pair, which I think, if that's misinterpreted, can lead to some of the worst aspects of wargaming. I think a lot of people have misinterpreted it, and they've had to tone it down a bit now. Also, there was a bit of a snobbery over complex, heavy, difficult-to-assemble metal figures, which I don't have time for. At the end of the day, we're not modelers, we're gamers. So, yeah, modelling and the hobby side is important, but you're going to assemble these little plastic toys and push them around on a table. So I don't want to be drilling holes and pinning and super gluing and then having to counterbar. That's not that interesting to me. I like assembling figures, but not that much. And that's one of my beef, actually, with some of the Mantic metal ranges is, like, I've got the Undead Pegasus, and filling in some of those gaps with green stuff and everything just, ugh. Anyway, I think I've gone on enough about how much I hate metal, but great things. War Machine has now gone plastic. I'm hoping Hordes will follow, because Hordes and War Machine have some really interesting stuff in there. Unfortunately, a little bit pricier than I was expecting. I think the overall cost of the game isn't too bad, because you don't need a huge amount of figures. But, you know, individually, the figures are actually quite expensive. The box sets are a reasonable value, though. And I'd probably pick up some Menoth and some Kryks at some stage. And I'm not 100% sure about my Hordes. possibly the Trolls and the desert guys whose name escapes me right now, the Scorn, I think it is. They look quite interesting to me. But yeah, great coverage on Beast of War for that. Lots of video reviews and obviously some web forums set up. And the Privateer Press website itself is pretty good. I've downloaded the quick start rules. I might push around a couple of little cardboard templates just to make sure I'm interested. And if I am, I think I'm going to drop some money on War Machine, particularly, as I say, Menoth and Crix. With regard to little figures and so on, 8043, very impressed by that. Looking forward to seeing what's going on with version 2. Last time I checked, there were some beta test rules gone out, I think, to a certain select few people. Could be interesting, could really revitalise the game. Equally, it could destroy it. I actually quite like 8043 as it is. A couple of little minor problems, maybe, but... I like the idea of capture ground to get victory points and reinforcement points. Then you can deploy extra units. The figures are pretty well painted. I'm quite happy to play with them as they are. What I tend to do is touch up the faces a bit and maybe put a bit of a wash on them. And they look just great. And it's great. You just buy the box, you take them out and play. You do lose a lot of that assembly and paint inside, which in some ways is a bit of a shame, but it does mean you can buy the box and play straight away. And if the prices were cheaper, you'd do great guns. I bought a load in the sale, and from that, you know, to me it worked out very cheap. It worked out about the same price as a Games Workshop unassembled, unpainted figure. So I was quite pleased with that. But unfortunately, not much news on what's going on with version 2. Seems to be going well, but haven't seen anything new from them. Perry Bolt Action, War Games Factory, I think they are, Bacchus and Infinity, lots of great stuff coming out there. Particularly interested in a couple of Infinity figures. Really enjoy that game. Wish I played a bit more of it. Probably one of the best games out there, actually, but the rule book could be better. But when you actually play the game, it's pretty good and very interactive. Great little game, and if you limit yourself to maybe a box starter set and one or two extra figures, it's not too pricey, particularly again if you go to the shows. So you might want to have a look at Warfare if you're going to Reading. Bacchus keep revamping their range, looking really good. Very pleased to say I've actually finally finished painting my Confederate army. I do have a couple of generals left to paint, but I'm not sure whether they're going to go with the Union or the Confederates, because they sort of could double up as either at the moment. But basically my Confederate army is painted, so I just need to do my Union army now. And then I've got to start on my Napoleonics, which is filling me with dread, because I've got to work out who I want them to be and so on. Very good. The Palmus rule set looks interesting. Like to give it a go at some stage. But I'm going to come back to that, because that's going to be what I'm talking about after the break. Bolt Action continues to release some nice metals and plastic stuff. Very intrigued to see they're working on some British now, which will be good opponents for the Germans. They did in plastic. I still have in my two-paint tray all my Fallschreider force, which I picked up at the Bovington show. Yeah, very impressed. I think I'm going to mount them all up on 2p coins. Seems to be the cheapest way to mount them up, and will work very well for a small skirmish action game. Perry, again, continue to really impress me. I sadly haven't bought any of their lovely new stuff, but maybe that's something for next year. We'll see. Moving away from miniatures, we've got MMP. Now, if, like me, you've not been to their website for a while, you might have been a bit shocked to go and discover that they finally launched their new webpage. In addition, you were thinking, where's all the pre-orders gone? They'd all disappeared. Well, it's not so bad now, because I think people have finally clocked on to what's going on. If you've got a pre-order with them and you haven't been to their website, log on, create a new account on their website, and then do a search for your pre-order and associate it with your account, and that will update everything. I quite like the new website, but I'm surprised ASL is a bit not more click here for ASL. You have to kind of rummage around a bit to find it. But that's maybe because some of their other games are doing a little bit better for them. I'm particularly pleased to see they're doing some more Stormover games. There's a Stormover Vietnam, if I recall correctly, but the one I'm interested in is Stormover Normandy, and I'd quite like to pick up Stormover Stalingrad at some stage, but they're looking very interesting, a very nice little mechanic going on there. So lots of really good stuff going on. On the computer front, obviously, lots of new games coming out with Christmas coming up. Fable, glad to see yet more Fable goodness is coming, and a couple of other games, obviously Black Ops and Medal of Honor. But the games I've been looking at are actually quite old now. Lord of the Rings, MMO, I actually bought myself Angmar for, I think it was about £5. Played that for about 30, 40 days, and then my account ran out, but thankfully, Lord of the Rings is now free to play, so just in the process of updating my account and downloading the new software, and I'll be wandering around Lord of the Rings again. Nice little game. I wouldn't want to pay a monthly fee for it, though, to be quite frank. Sometimes it's a little bit tedious of just doing the grinding that you get with MMOs, but the community is pretty good, the graphics are wonderful, it does really invoke the atmosphere of Lord of the Rings in places. Sadly, some areas are quite nasty. I when I was a bit lower level, I accidentally wandered into Weathertop in the wrong location, and I took on one guy, and with about two hits, he wiped me out. Went back a bit later when I'd gone up, I think it was only about six levels, and I just kicked his butt. So you do need to be a bit careful. Some of the beasties are just way too powerful for you to take on. And I do remember about three of us taking on this troll, and we obviously weren't very good on the level front because he just creamed us very, very quickly. So possibly the difficulty level at times is being a bit too gamified compared to the books, but I am a Lord of the Rings snob, I'm afraid. So very good, and definitely for free, worth a try. Another old game I've been trying out is Total War. Now, I had ERA installed on my machine quite a while ago. Really enjoy Shogun, Medieval, and in particular Rome with Alexander. Rome and Alexander are the best Total War games, in my opinion. Shogun, I really enjoy, but it does have a nasty habit of crashing on me. Going to have to check. Maybe there's some updates that I haven't got that I should do. Medieval, yeah, not so keen. Obviously, Medieval 2, slightly better. It's more of your kind of Rome-esque sort of interface, but I don't feel the urgent need to rush out and buy Medieval 2. But I was very keen to see Shogun 2 was out, and I thought, oh, I must buy that. But my experience with Total War Empire has put me off a bit. Now, Total War Empire, I've managed to buy the Game of the Year edition, which comes with all the expansions, Empire, Napoleon. Fantastic. Couple of DVDs. Why on God's earth do they make it so complex to install? You put the CD in, it goes online, it registers you with a Steam account and starts trying to download 10 gig of game data. Use the CD, don't go online. Lots of faffing around to get that to work. Finally did manage to do it. It didn't particularly help that they caught me right when my broadband disappeared for a month due to a fault on my line, which is now fixed. But I was tearing my hair out with it. I mean, I'm fairly techie savvy, and I was just absolutely bamboozled as to what the hell it was doing. A website online talks about creating a special shortcut, and you put in a command line thing to tell it to actually grab the installer from the CD. That all works great for Empire, but it then wouldn't work for Napoleon. So I had to do on Napoleon. I had to start installing it. It went online, tried to download the stuff. I said pause. I then had to uninstall it. I then put the disc in, and then when it went to install, it actually installed from the disc. So, I mean, how someone who doesn't know what they're doing is meant to work that out, I don't know. So they really mucked that up, and people have been moaning about that since the game came out. But once you get past your anger and angst, the actual game's pretty damn good, I have to say. Had a go with a couple of the tutorials. Graphics look pretty good. However, unlike Rome, and definitely unlike Shogun, you are going to need a pretty beefy machine. In terms of power, Rome and Medieval can run on fairly basic piece of kit. Rome's a little bit more demanding, but both Empire and Napoleon really have stepped up the plate. And the water effects are lovely, but you're going to need a really good video card. I've got a not brilliant NVIDIA built into my motherboard, and it's pretty good. The game runs reasonably smoothly as long as you put most things on low quality. If you start cranking it up a bit to the higher levels, then it looks nice, but it can judder a little teeny bit. But yeah, very good game, but the installer, such a nightmare. Makes me think, do I really want to go down the Shogun route? Now, the good thing about Steam, obviously, is it makes it easy to get hold of the updates and all that. And you can, once you've got the game installed and updated and everything, you can then tell it to run in offline mode. But what I did find frustrating is I had to do this great big long install off the disk when I finally got it to decide it wanted to use the disks. But then it had to download a huge amount of updates off the web before it would even let me play the game. So, yeah, not good. And as I say, it has been around a time, so people hopefully are aware of it. But as I say, you need to get past that, because once you actually get into the game, it is very, very good. Board games, haven't talked much about them. I'm only going to talk about a couple. When I was looking at Fantasy Flight Games website for the Wings of War and Anima Tactics, came across a Battle Lore variant, Battle of Westeros, very interesting. But in particular, there's now stuff on the new Civ board game there, and I believe you can actually download the rules now. So I'll be popping over there to grab myself a copy of the PDF and see if that's a game I want to buy. I really enjoyed the original Civ game. Now, I believe it did actually go fairly cheap on eBay recently, the original Civ game. The only problem is my recollection of the original version was you needed quite a few players and lots of time. However, if my friend did win it, which he was hoping to do, I can see a nice big weekend session coming up of that. Now, talking of Battle of Westeros, Battle Lore and so on, you're probably aware I'm a big fan of Command & Conquer's Ancients. I've been playing it a lot down the club recently, particularly in its epic variant. Well, a bit more news on the Command & Conquer's Napoleonics spin is coming out. Looking quite interesting. Hoping to see a living rulebook fairly soon from them. Let's hope so. But yeah, the graphics look pretty good. Some of the spins look good. I'm always a little bit nervous of the Command & Conquer system with too much range combat. For example, I wasn't so keen on the Battle Cry variant. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see, because Battle Cry did get a little bit cut down from the original vision, whereas Napoleonics, he's been given his a free head. So that should be good. Now, talking of American Civil War and Napoleonics, that's what I'm going to be talking about after the break. Been doing a lot of that recently, in particular Fire and Fury. So when we come back, that's what I'm going to talk about, the Fire and Fury and Age of Eagles game systems. So see you after this break.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the Elder Sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn. I wish I'd visited YoggSothoth.com more often.
YoggSothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from YoggSothoth.com.
Hello, and welcome back. Right, well, Fire and Fury, been around quite a while. It's actually pretty hard to get hold of a decent quality copy now because it kind of went out of print. I've actually got the reprint version, which sadly, the graphics are a little bit muddy, so it's not quite as good as the original version, but it's a really, really good game, in my opinion. I really enjoy it. Play it, as I say, quite a lot down the club. Basically, you've got your unions and your confederates. Your units are big blocks of figures, and what you do is you actually base, well, typically four infantry figures on an individual base, and then you group anywhere from, let's say, four to about 12 bases together to form your unit. As you take hits, that can either make you disordered or disordered and lose bases. And if you're already disordered, that can be a bad thing because you can actually run from the field. The combat is all kind of rationalized into one dice roll, which some people have a bit of a problem with. But it does give you the ability to be the commander who says, take that unit, assault that hill. You've no idea what's going on, but your unit either stands or runs. And often you're able to get them to kind of calm down, turn around, and go back in again. So from my point of view, it's very good. It actually takes you up to a higher level of command and doesn't get you involved in all the nitty-gritties of too much formation changing and stuff like that. The game tends to play pretty quick, and sometimes it's very frustrating. You concentrate like three guys on one unit and they all bounce off and some of them run away and you just tear your hair out. But you tend to find if you use decent tactics, you can go in. The typical thing you want to do is you want to pummel them with a little bit of artillery, which, to be frank, isn't very good in Fire and Fury. Try and get a disorder on them. March up, pop a few shots, and then charge in. But what really makes the game good is the turn order. Basically, you move, you then have defensive fire, offensive fire, and melee. And that means that in every single turn, you're always sort of involved. You're not sitting around for hours and hours waiting for stuff to happen. In addition, you don't have full control of your units. You actually have to roll a d10 and compare it to a table to see whether they move, whether they rally, whether they kind of move but only to half a move, or possibly if they're disordered, they're going to run off the table. They just decide, no way am I taking that hill. I'm out of here. Cavalry, not very good. If you charge your cavalry in against an infantry unit, it's probably going to get shot to bits and then massacred. So what you tend to do is what they did historically. You use your cavalry to get up round on the flank, so you can get some enfilade fire. You dismount your troops, and if they're Union carbines, you just unload a hail of lead into them, and they don't like it up them. So that's how you should use the cavalry. Sprint them up there as quickly as possible, get them off their horses, form up a defensive line, and just pour fire in. If the enemy gets too close to you, jump on your horse and gallop off. It's all about infantry, and the figures are basically pretty much the same in quality, so it can become a bit of a grinding match. So I think it captures the American Civil War really, really well. Great fan, as I say. Minimal paperwork. You can, once you've read the rules, pretty much play it just off the combat resolution sheet and the maneuver sheet. There are a couple of little tricky bits with, you know, is this a valid formation and how do I wheel, and but once you've played a few times, you got it down. It's pretty easy, as I say, just to play off the one sheet. So really, really impressed by it. You do need quite a few figures if you want to do the big battles. I have looked into maybe using my 6mm Bacchus figures and making one 60mm base a unit and then just having a paper record of how many units have been hit and killed and all that stuff. If you're not into paperwork, that's why you're going to like the original Fire and Fury. You have a marker for low on ammo, a marker for breakthrough charges, a marker for disorders, and you can actually buy little metal figures for that, or you can just use little counters. Depends what you want to do. And the game looks pretty good, plays pretty good, and the scariest thing is you set up on a big table and very quickly you're into each other because the figures, you know, they're moving like 8 inches or more. And they're shooting about 7-8 inches, so it doesn't take long before you're in and engaged and getting bloody. As I say, the rules do tend to favour you kind of massing your forces, but sometimes because of that one dice roll you can get mucked up. But there's a load of modifiers for, like, is your leader attached, are you disordered, have you lost any figures, do you outnumber them, are you supported, are people on your flank, all that sort of stuff. That's kind of built into the game engine. There are a couple of battle books. Sadly, I've only picked up the one, which was the Eastern Scenarios. I'm after a copy of the Western Scenarios, but it just seems to be rare as teeth. You can't find it anywhere. But what's interesting to me is I picked up a while back a spin-off variant called Age of Eagles, which is a Napoleonic take, and I actually managed to have a game last week, and really enjoyed it. It's basically Fire and Fury. But of course, if you make that assumption, you're going to get hammered. The reason being, although it's basically Fire and Fury, it's in the details where it's different. On the manoeuvring chart, if you're in what they call the reserve zone, it's fairly easy to move you, but it's not instant. It's kind of slightly harder than Fire and Fury to move people in the reserve zone. If you're what they call the engaged zone, it's a lot harder. Now, what's this? This is something new to Age of Eagles. Basically, anyone within 17, 18 inches of each other is engaged in the tactical zone. Anyone outside of that is a reserve. Now, at the start of each turn, you roll initiative. You then move all your reserves and your generals. Once you've finished doing that, you're then allowed to move your tactically engaged guys. And if they're disordered and don't have supported flanks and stuff, you're going to really struggle. So it works very well at replicating the difficulty of manoeuvring these big units, particularly once they get close to an enemy. The next thing you'll notice is when it comes to shooting, if you're lucky, you'll be able to shoot 4 inches with your muskets because you've got skirmishers. If you're unlucky, you're only going to shoot 2 inches. So you're going to do quite a bit of manoeuvring before you can even shoot anyone, which means you're very vulnerable to cavalry and artillery. And artillery is pretty lethal. So if you gather all your artillery into a grand battery and you've got nice big 12-pound guns, you can really pummel people, particularly if you're Russian or Napoleonic Guard artillery. You can really put the hurt on a unit. In the game we did a very rough facsimile of the Battle of Eylau, and basically you massed a load of Russian artillery in the centre. Then Napoleonic French came charging forward, and I think about 3 units literally just got pummeled by this artillery and taken off the table. They got absolutely destroyed, which came as a bit of a rude awakening to the guy who assumed that the artillery was just as bad as it was in Fire and Fury. He didn't make that mistake again. The cavalry, pretty devastating, particularly on the charge. But unfortunately, if cavalry charges, it gets disordered. And if you're cavalry, you countercharge. So it can be quite annoying. You've got your cavalry, you charge in, and they become disordered. And if they're right next to another unit, you could have trouble because you're then going to get shot or charged or whatever. So quite subtly different. And of course, the other thing is the firepower totals of the different types of units. So some units fight in column format, some units fight in linear format, and others fight in a mix. Impulse, I think, is the official term. And you want to be impulse. If you're a column infantry, when it comes to shooting, you're pretty poor. And you get a slight advantage in combat. But if you're impulse, you get all the advantages of linear and all the advantages of column. And the rules are a little bit French bias here because the French pretty much are impulse most of the time. They are column on occasion. But when it comes to actually mounting your figures, it doesn't make any difference. You can actually set up your French line as a line, but what it then says is within that line of your brigade, battalion, each individual regiment is either in column, line, or this impulse formation. The rule book's pretty good at laying things out and explaining it. Again, once you've learnt the rules, you can pretty much play it just off the sheet. You can download that sheet off a Yahoo group, so you don't have to rip it out your rule book, which was a bit of a mistake they made. And you want to download the sheets because that's also got some amendments where a couple of little typos crept in. So I've really, really have been enjoying playing and reading up about that. So it got me thinking to other rule systems. Now, in the American Civil War, obviously, there's Battle Cry, if you want a nice basic little game. But I'm not really that aware of too many other game systems because Fire and Fury just fits the bill. I have got the Pulmus rule set and going to have to give that a go. But, you know, unless it's really great, I think I'm quite happy to stick with my Fire and Fury, thank you very much. When it comes to Napoleonics, there's a lot more choice. Now, our club traditionally has played Shako. Lots of great things in Shako. Really quite enjoy it. But a couple of bits don't quite work, and sometimes it doesn't really look very Napoleonic. But, we haven't played it for a while, so my recollection might be not quite there. But, yeah, it was pretty good, but didn't quite fit the bill. So we looked at, for example, In the Grand Manor. And I quite like that, but the biggest problem I had with it is the shooting was pretty good. You kind of said how many figures you got, where it's this many fire points, this is how many people you kill. But I found the melees just seemed to drag on. I seem to remember one game, I think we must have had too many figures, but we had a load of cavalry figures charge into an infantry unit. And I swear it took 40 minutes just to do that one combat. So although I like the game, it looks good, it plays like a Napoleonic battle feels it should play like, on occasion, it just drags. And, I mean, the banner was up on the left flank, and I was on the right flank. And I just lost interest in the game, really, and went off and started talking to other people. And then suddenly it was, we finished, come back. So we have done a couple of house rules to get around that problem. But I really do like the game, but it didn't quite work. And that's why I went off and picked up my copy of Age of Eagles. Again, there's the Palmer's rule set, and there's loads of other Napoleonics out there. You know, Age of Eagles, I think the feedback was pretty good, and it's sort of Fire and Fury-esque, which is one of our most popular games. So I can see the club pretty much doing Command & Colours Ancients for quick, fun pick-up Ancients games. Our own rule set for when we want some bigger, more meaty games. Wings of War for World War One. Fire and Fury for American Civil War, and Age of Eagles for Napoleon. I could easily see that happening. And it's interesting how you kind of get this stuff going on in clubs sometimes. Now, you might think, oh, he's mad. Why is he not talking about, I don't know, Bloody Flags or something like that for ECW? And Napoleonic, why is he not talking about, what is it, Grand Army, I think is one I keep hearing about. Well, yeah, I'm happy to hear from you about that. Always interesting to read rules. I love reading rules, maybe a little bit too much. But I'm always interested to see other variant rules and how people have interpreted the game. But it's also interesting to notice that a lot of people are now realising we need to start standardising on basing, particularly, obviously, with Ancients. That's very dominant with the kind of DBX-style 40mm frontage for 15mm and stuff. It's interesting to notice a lot of the Napoleonic battles seem to have a similar sort of basing scheme starting to develop. Having seen someone have to rebase all their figures, I can understand why people don't want us to keep coming up with new and wonderful ways of basing stuff. Anyway, a little quick short show. I hope that's given you a little bit of an insight to Fire and Fury and Age of Eagles. Be prepared, as I say, if you want to do the big battles, to buy quite a lot of figures, because you're typically going to be needing 4 infantry figures per base, and you're going to need, well, at least 7 bases for most units. So if you're fielding 20 units, that adds up to a lot of figures. I think most battles we fight, we've got about 9 or 10 infantry units, maybe 2 cavalry units, and then 3 or 4 artillery pieces. That sort of seems to be the size of games we play quite a lot. The game we did for Age of Eagles was a little bit bigger than that. First time you'd ever played the game. Started about 8 o'clock, finished at 11 o'clock, and that's because we stopped, had to explain some of the rules and do a couple of bits, and we then calculated the victory points, and I think it was 11-5. So Napoleon got his butt kicked, which to me in some ways did feel fairly historical, because although Napoleon did actually win the battle, he did it at quite a big cost, and unfortunately for us, we didn't get to see what the Old Guard cavalry could have done, because we ran out of time, but they were about 1 or 2 moves away from actually crashing into the Russian centre and just sweeping them away, which again was what happened historically. So maybe a little bit over-ambitious, the battle, but really enjoyable, and I'm going to be pressurising the guys to have another go fairly soon on that. I was the ref, I didn't actually play, and went very smoothly. Anyway, as I say, only a little quick overview of the rules. Any comments would be appreciated. I think this might be the last show for the year. We'll have to wait and see what my enthusiasm level's like and whether my broadband actually stays working. And gonna do things a little bit differently for next year, I think. Listening back to some of my other podcasts, a couple of bits not happy with, and we'll have to see. You know, I keep talking about, oh, I'm going to have to review what I'm doing with my podcast. And, yeah, that is still going on, I'm afraid. So I'm a bit of a stuck whining record on that front. But hopefully I'll be able to get to Warfare, have a good Christmas, and speak to you in the new year.